Do sit down, everybody.
She sits down on the sofa.
They all move except Ellie.
Mazzini resumes his seat.
Randall sits down in the window seat near the starboard door.
Again making a pendulum of his poker.
Studying it as Galileo might have done.
Hector sits on his left, in the middle.
Mangan, forgotten, sits in the port corner.
Lady Utterword takes the big chair.
Captain Shotover goes into the pantry in deep abstraction.
They all look after him.
And Lady Utterword coughs, consciously.
So, Billy Dunn was poor nurse's little romance. I knew there had been somebody.
They will fight their battles over again and enjoy themselves immensely.
You are not married and you know nothing about it, Randall. Hold your tongue.
Tyrant.
Well, we have had a very exciting evening. Everything will be an anticlimax after it. We'd better all go to bed.
Another burglar may turn up.
Oh, impossible. I hope not.
Why not? There is more than one burglar in England.
What do you say, Alf?
Oh, I don't matter. I'm forgotten. The burglar has put my nose out of joint. Shove me into the corner and have done with me.
Would you like a walk on the heath, Alfred? With me?
Go, Mr. Mangan. It will do you good. Hermione will soothe you.
Come, Alfred. There is a moon. It's like the night in Tristan and Isolde.
She caresses his arm and draws him to the port garden door.
How can you have the face, the heart?
He breaks down and is heard sobbing as she takes him out.
What an extraordinary way to behave. What is the matter with the man?
His heart is breaking, that's all.
The captain appears at the pantry door, listening.
It is a curious sensation, the sort of pain that goes mercifully beyond our powers of feeling. When your heart is broken, your boats are burned. Nothing matters anymore. It is the end of happiness and the beginning of peace.
How dare you?
Good heavens, what's the matter?
Steady.
I was not addressing you particularly, Lady Utterword, and I am not accustomed to being asked, how dare I?
Of course not. Anyone can see how badly you've been brought up.
Oh, I hope not, Lady Utterword. Really.
I know very well what you meant. The impudence!
What on earth do you mean?
She means that her heart will not break. She has been longing all her life for someone to break it. At last, she has become afraid she has none to break.
Papa, don't say you think I've no heart.
If you had no heart, how could you want to have it broken, child?
Lady Utterword, you are not to be trusted. You have made a scene.
He runs out into the garden through the starboard door.
Oh, Hector. Hector.
She runs out after him.
Only nerves, I assure you.
He rises and follows her,
waving the poker in his agitation.
Ariadne! Ariadne! For God's sake, be careful! You will...
He is gone.
How distressing. Can I do anything, I wonder?
Captain Shotover sets to work at the drawing board.
No. Go to bed. Good night.
Oh, perhaps you are right.
Good night, dearest.
She kisses him.
Good night, love.
Mazzini Dunn makes for the door,
but turns aside to the bookshelves.
I'll just take a book.
He takes one.
Good night.
He goes out,
leaving Ellie alone with the captain. The captain is intent on his drawing.
Ellie, standing sentry over his chair, contemplates him for a moment.
Does nothing ever disturb you, Captain Shotover?
I've stood on the bridge for 18 hours in a typhoon. Life here is stormier, but I can stand it.
Do you think I ought to marry Mr. Mangan?
One rock is as good as another to be wrecked on.
I am not in love with him.
Who said you were?
You are not surprised?
Surprised at my age.
It seems to me quite fair. He wants me for one thing, I want him for another.
Money?
Yes.
Well, one turns the cheek, the other kisses it. One provides the cash, the other spends it.
Who will have the best of the bargain, I wonder?
You. These fellows live in an office all day. You will have to put up with him from dinner to breakfast, but you will both be asleep most of that time. All day you will be quit of him, and you will be shopping with his money. If that is too much for you, marry a seafaring man. You will be bothered with him only 3 weeks in the year, perhaps.
That would be best of all, I suppose.
It's a dangerous thing to be married right up to the hilt, like my daughter's husband. The man is at home all day, like a damned soul in hell.
I never thought of that before.
If you're marrying for business, you can't be too businesslike.
Why do women always want other women's husbands?
Why do horse thieves prefer a horse that is broken in to one that is wild?
I suppose so. What a vile world it is.
It doesn't concern me. I'm nearly out of it.
And I'm only just beginning.
Yes, so look ahead.
Well, I think I'm being very prudent.
I didn't say prudent. I said look ahead.
What's the difference?
It's prudent to gain the whole world and to lose your own soul. But don't forget that your soul sticks to you if you stick to it. But the world has a way of slipping through your fingers.
I'm sorry, Captain Shotover, but it's no use talking like that to me. Old-fashioned people are no use to me. Old-fashioned people think you can have a soul without money. They think the less money you have, the more soul you have. Young people nowadays know better. A soul is a very expensive thing to keep. Much more so than a motor car.
Is it? How much does your soul eat?
Oh, a lot. It eats music, and pictures, and books, and mountains, and lakes. Beautiful things to wear, and nice people to be with. In this country, you can't have them without lots of money. That is why our souls are so horribly starved.
Mangan's soul lives on pig's food.
Yes, money is thrown away on him. I suppose his soul was starved when he was young, but it will not be thrown away on me. It is just because I want to save my soul that I am marrying for money. All the women who are not fools do.
There are other ways of getting money. Why don't you steal it?
Because I don't want to go to prison.
Is that the only reason? Are you quite sure honesty has nothing to do with it?
Oh, you are very, very old-fashioned. Does any modern girl believe that the legal and illegal ways of getting money are the honest and dishonest ways? Mangan robbed my father and my father's friends. I should rob all the money back from Mangan, if the police would let me. As they won't, I must get it back by marrying him.
I can't argue. I'm too old. My mind is made up and finished. All I can tell you is that, old-fashioned or new-fashioned, if you sell yourself, you deal your soul a blow that all the books and pictures and concerts and scenery in the world won't heal.
He gets up suddenly and makes for the pantry.
Then why did you sell yourself to the devil in Zanzibar?
What?
You shall not run away before you answer. I have found out that trick of yours. If you sold yourself, why shouldn't I?
I had to deal with men so degraded that they wouldn't obey me unless I swore at them and kicked them and beat them with my fists. Foolish people took young thieves off the streets, flung them into a training ship where they were taught to fear the cane instead of fearing God, and thought they'd made men and sailors of them by private subscription. I tricked these thieves into believing I'd sold myself to the devil. It saved my soul from the kicking and swearing that was damning me by inches.
I shall pretend to sell myself to Boss Mangan to save my soul from the poverty that is damning me by inches.
Riches will damn you 10 times deeper. Riches won't save even your body.
Old-fashioned again. We know now that the soul is the body, and the body the soul. They tell us they are different because they want to persuade us that we can keep our souls if we let them make slaves of our bodies. I am afraid you are no use to me, Captain.
What did you expect? A savior, huh? Are you old-fashioned enough to believe in that?
No, but I thought you were very wise and might help me. Now I have found you out. You pretend to be busy and think of fine things to say and run in and out to surprise people by saying them and get away before they can answer you.
It confuses me to be answered. It discourages me. I cannot bear men and women. I have to run away. I must run away now.
You shall not run away from me. I can hypnotize you. You are the only person in the house I can say what I like to. I know you are fond of me. Sit down.
She draws him to the sofa.
Take care. I am in my dotage. Old men are dangerous. It doesn't matter to them what is going to happen in the world.
They sit side by side on the sofa.
She leans affectionately against him with her head on his shoulder.
And her eyes half closed.
I should have thought nothing else mattered to old men. They can't be very interested in what is going to happen to themselves.
A man's interest in the world is only the overflow from his interest in himself. When you are a child, your vessel is not yet full, so you care for nothing but your own affairs. When you grow up, your vessel overflows, and you're a politician, a philosopher, or an explorer and an adventurer. In old age, the vessel dries up. There is no overflow. You are a child again. I can give you the memories of my ancient wisdom, mere scraps and leavings, but I no longer really care for anything but my own little wants and hobbies. I sit here working out my old ideas as a means of destroying my fellow creatures. I see my daughters and their men living foolish lives of romance and sentiment and snobbery. I see you, the younger generation, turning from their romance and sentiment and snobbery to money and comfort and hard common sense. I was 10 times happier on the bridge in the typhoon or frozen into Arctic ice for months in darkness than you or they have ever been. You are looking for a rich husband. At your age, I looked for hardship, danger, horror, and death, that I might feel the life in me more intensely. I did not let the fear of death govern my life, and my reward was I had my life. You are going to let the fear of poverty govern your life, and your reward will be that you will eat, but you will not live.
But what can I do? I am not a sea captain. I can't stand on bridges in typhoons or go slaughtering seals and whales in Greenland's icy mountains. They won't let women be captains. Do you want me to be a stewardess?
There are worse lives. The stewardesses could come ashore if they liked, but they sail and sail and sail.
What could they do ashore but marry for money? I don't want to be a stewardess. I am too bad a sailor. Think of something else for me.
I can't think so long and continuously. I am too old. I must go in and out.
You shall not. You are happy here, aren't you?
I tell you, it's dangerous to keep me. I can't keep awake and alert.
What do you run away for? To sleep?
No, to get a glass of rum.
Is that it? How disgusting. Do you like being drunk?
No. I dread being drunk more than anything in the world. To be drunk means to have dreams, to go soft, to be easily pleased and deceived, to fall into the clutches of women. Drink does that for you when you are young. But when you are old, very, very old, like me, the dreams come by themselves. You don't know how terrible that is. You are young. You sleep at night only and sleep soundly. But later on, you will sleep in the afternoon. Later, you will sleep even in the morning, and you will wake tired, tired of life. You will never be free from dozing and dreams. The dreams will steal upon your work every 10 minutes unless you can awaken yourself with rum. I drink now to keep sober, but the dreams are conquering. Rum is not what it was. I have had 10 glasses since you came, and it might be so much water. Go get me another. Guinness knows where it is. You had better see for yourself the horror of an old man drinking.
You shall not drink. Dream. I like you to dream. You must never be in the real world when we talk together.